Welcome to Literature Out Loud, sponsored by RMU Radio and Rune, the Robert Morris University Literary Magazine. I'm John Lawson. My guests today are poet Jim Daniels and photographer Charlie Brodsky. Both Jim and Charlie teach at Carnegie Mellon University, and each of you has a list of accomplishments as long as my arm. Jim Daniels has written poetry, fiction, and screenplays. He's edited several anthologies of poems, and his poems have been featured on Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac, in Billy Collins' Poetry 180 anthologies, and in Ted Kooser's American Life in Poetry series. Street, a book of Jim's poems accompanying the photographs of Charlie Brodsky, won the Tilly Olson Prize from the Working Class Studies Association. He's received the Brittingham Prize for poetry, and his poems have appeared in the Pushcart Prize and Best American Poetry anthologies. His latest book, 8 Mile High, was published by Michigan State University Press in 2014. Charlie Brodsky was chosen to be the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts Pittsburgh Artist of the Year in 2012. Her 2008 book, I Thought I Could Fly, Portraits of Anguish, Compulsion, and Despair, is a collection of her photographs and personal narratives by people living with mental disorders. In 2003, the University of Pittsburgh Press published Knowing Stephanie, a book about Stephanie Byram's life with breast cancer, featuring Brodsky's photographs. In 2002, Charlie received a regional Emmy with three others for her work on Stephanie, a documentary video. Charlie's collaborations with Jim Daniels include her most recent book, From Mall Town to Mill Town, with Jim and Jane McCafferty, and Street, a collection of her photographs and Jim Daniels' poems. Street, published by Bottom Dog Press in 2005, won the Tilly Olson Award in 2007. Jim and Charlie, it's a real honor to welcome both of you to Robert Morris University and RMU Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, John.
I'd like to focus our discussion today on the work that you two collaborate on. I've mentioned two books. Maybe you could begin by telling us what other projects you've done together.
Well, Street was the first book, and then we did From Milltown to Malltown. In addition, we have work which will be part of the gallery show of three other projects. And one is, I think Charlie could probably talk more about those because, as we'll get to, I often write in response to her photos.
Yeah, and what I want to say is that we don't say, let's do a book together. We just start working, and then we start to see a manuscript evolve. And we met each other, well, we've known each other for years. We've been colleagues. We were both at CMU for longer than either of us want to admit. And actually, the numbers are in decades at this point. But we had a lunch together, and Jim was asking me about if I knew of anyone who was photographing walls. He was working on a series of wall poems. And I said, well, I don't know anyone except myself, but maybe I should show you some of my work. And that was many years ago. And ironically, although that was the first series of work that we did together, that's probably the series that we never got out as much as some of the other work, but it started our collaboration.
Interesting. And so, judging from what Jim just said, it always starts with your photographs and then he writes in response?
Yes, but I also think that I must say that we have shared values. We both really much believe that there's a world out there, and a world that's ongoing, that consists of people, working class people, the built environment features is important to our work. We kind of respond to the towns and the places where we live. Jim's from Detroit. He writes a lot about his experiences there, and that experience follows him to his life here in Pittsburgh. And I'm very taken by the Pittsburgh landscape as a documentary photographer.
I can tell, yeah.
Yeah, so it's I think one of the things we have in common is interest in the urban landscape and the people who inhabit that landscape. So, for example, one of our more recent projects we're working on is centered on McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania. And another, which we're calling Trace, is set in a... well, Charlie, can you explain exactly where that place is?
Well, the place now is this huge, elaborate, modern parking lot that Pitt has created, but for years before that it was a vacant, abandoned space, and you could tell that something once existed there, maybe a factory. There were shards of history's past. Something was there, and I had photographed there for a couple of years, loving that this was a place that was now just a trace of something. And this was the most abstract work that we had done in quite a while, because usually we were responding to real things. In this particular project, we were responding to our idea of what may have been there and what eventually just became, was taken back by nature and the earth.
You know, I've seen that title, Trace, in your work that you shared with me earlier, and it's suddenly, as you discuss it, reminding me of Derrida's discussion of trace, which is raising the question for me whether, you just said that you respond typically to things out there in the world, but I'm also wondering how much your work is informed by critical theory or by criticism.
Well, it doesn't inform my work at all, to be honest about it. It's not that I'm not interested in it, but I'm more interested in the work itself and the primacy and the directness of it, regardless of theory. And so I'm trying to get at some emotional truth out of the landscape. And one of the things that attracts me about Charlie's photographs is another thing we both have in common is that we have the poet's eye and the photographer's eye. So what she focuses in on and what I see through that interesting focus in terms of an imaginative spark that takes me somewhere new. For example, in Street, we have a series of photographs where there's a person in all the photographs in one way or another. Some of them focus on the feet, some of them focus on the torso, but I try and imagine these people's lives through the little hints of evidence that Charlie gives me in terms of what she focuses in on.
And I want to add to that, and I think that we share this in common. We like details a lot, and I think that it's the sum of the details that make up the whole. And I'm fascinated by the little things in an image, or the little the textures, the surface quality, the way a leaf might be bent. For me, it's all about the little things adding up to a statement.
I think we're both looking for the extraordinary and the ordinary.
Yes, that's. I wish our radio listeners could see some of Charlie's images to illustrate that. I'm sure they could find them online, and we'll be able to see them in the gallery show starting in October here, and on the website accompanying it. I love the fact that the collaborative work that you two do seems to add up to more than the sum of its parts in a way, that there's a kind of synaptic relationship between the poems and the images that seem to bring out more in each from a viewing point of view or from a consumption sort of perspective.
Yeah, well, with both of the books, the Street and From Milltown to Malltown, the pages are larger than a normal kind of 5 by 7.5 book, and that's so that we can include the entire poem facing the photograph, because we do believe in creating a third thing. So there's a kind of poetry called ekphrastic poetry, which is poetry in response to, well, it's response to music, but more often visual images and artwork and things like that, where the reader of the poem doesn't see the art. Now, I always imagine when I write these that the reader is going to be able to see Charlie's photograph. So when I approach writing, I'm trying to create a third thing in between the text and the image. Because if I'm just describing the image, the photograph's going to win out, because it's the sense of immediacy and detail you can see, and you don't have to translate it through words. So. I write about it kind of playing off of the photo as opposed to directly describing it.
Sure. Well, speaking of details, let's hear a poem and get kind of concrete about it.
Okay, I'll read a poem from Street called Girl with Giant Purse. I bet there's chiclets in there, and chapstick, and Kleenex, and a house key, and lifesavers, and a compact, and a change purse. I'm 46 and just realized my grandmother never drove a car, for this is her purse. She has left it on the bus. The girl is retrieving it and hoping for some reward. My grandmother will fish through the plastic and hand her a dime and call her dearie. She is the mother of the world and the purse is the moon. The purse holds her first big sadness, heavier than imagined. She is a cloud's dream and the smell of concrete after rain. The sound of the purse opening, a small bullet exploding, the cat out of the bag.
That was my guest, Jim Daniels, reading his poem, Girl with Giant Purse. And that was written in response to an image by Charlie Brodsky. Can you tell us about that image, Charlie?
Well, yeah, this image came from a series where I was photographing people who I would just meet on a street, neighborhood street. This was a girl who I met on the south side of Pittsburgh, young girl. And I think what's unique about these photographs is they don't show people's faces. So they basically show their torso, what they're wearing, how they hold their body, but not their face. And so I became very interested in how we get to know someone if we're not looking at their face. You know, what do their clothes tell us about them, and things like that. And it was such a fun series for me to do. It was also very fun for me to ask people if I could take a portrait of them, a photograph of them, and then say, but I don't want your head in it. So don't think I'm being rude or creepy, but this is your torso. And people would say fine. They'd go along with it. I was working with a view camera on a tripod, and so they were as equally interested in my process, like what I was doing with this large camera, as anything else. So I think the camera itself allowed us to engage in conversation together. So there was a nice give and take in the series between me and the subjects.
I can tell instantly that being a photographer requires a more outgoing personality than probably being a poet requires. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Literature Out Loud, and my guests are poet Jim Daniels and photographer Charlie Brodsky. I can't help but imagine, Charlie, that the fact that you two are collaborating, even though it seems like typically Jim writes his poems in response to your images, are you aware of your collaboration exerting an influence on your photography?
I think definitely yes. I think that I know when I'm in McKees Rocks photographing, I can, Jim is kind of there with me. I mean, he's not there at all physically with me, but you know, I am looking at things and I'm thinking what he would enjoy. Not so much what he would enjoy. I would know that he would be enjoying what I would be seeing, and getting into it.
Which is clearly the fruit of, as you say, decades of collaboration,
mm-hmm.
to an extent,
mm-hmm.
and probably also just an awareness that you share a sensibility to start with.
And I just also want to add that I really respect Jim's frankness when he approaches a photograph, his honesty, his directness. And I think that I approach my subject in a similar way, and I like to be direct and concrete. And I think those might be some words that describe Jim's approach as well.
Yeah, my directness often gets me in trouble, so it's nice to have someone appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Or to spread the blame, at least.
But I should mention that we have done the reverse in terms of actually the book Trace that Charlie has, which is an artist's book, where she took a poem and spread it out and matched photographs to it. So it's one poem with, I don't know how many, maybe like 20 photographs, where she'll isolate a line and then use a photo for that line. And actually the initial impulse, ironically, for this project, as Charlie mentioned earlier, was I had already written some poems about walls and was thinking, okay, maybe somebody has some photographs that will go with them, but Charlie's photographs of the walls were so interesting to me that I wrote new poems about the walls. And my other wall poems got set aside.
Well, do you ever find that, I mean, obviously at least once you did, but do you commonly find that sort of spiral effect where you'll do a poem, she'll do a photograph, you'll do a poem in response to the photograph, and building this huge ziggurat of inspiration in that way?
It depends on the individual project, because we're all doing other projects individually, and so sometimes we come together infrequently, and or Charlie will go back to take more photographs somewhere where I've already written something about them. I'm thinking of the homestead, Milltown to Malltown project, because that seemed to be more ongoing, because there were photographs of the old homestead and then photographs of the waterfront. And actually, another thing that attracts me to Charlie's photographs is the use of juxtaposition and intention. So, for example, the girl with the giant purse, there's a small girl with a purse that almost swallows her up. So there's that interesting sort of tension there. And the Milltown, the Malltown, there's just so much tension between old homestead and new that it was just easy to write about, really.
Yeah. I've heard of other, you know, poetry visual collaborations. Are you two inspired by particular poets or photographers or collaborations there between?
You know, I haven't seen that many. I know there are others, and I've kind of sought them out since we started collaborating. But in terms of direct inspiration from a collaboration, I haven't quite felt that. Though certain photographers, there was the recent Duane Michaels show at the Carnegie Museum of Art, and he was a photographer from Pittsburgh who would do sequences and actually would use text and write poems on his own photographs. So he was kind of collaborating with himself in that way, but I really kind of connected to what he was doing and in a way that made me want to, you know, do more work with Charlie.
Yeah.
I've always loved words with photographs. I've just always loved the environment that words can create for photographs to live in. I love the go-between words and images, that space that's created when you're looking at an image and you're hearing something in your head that you're reading. But in terms of collaborators out there, projects that have gone on, I'm not emulating any pair that I know of, although we do know of people, certainly photographers and writers who have worked together. But what I do is, although I can tell you I have a favorite photographer, I do have some favorite photographers, but what I can tell you is that I have a vast knowledge of imagery in my head, and I will try out certain ways of seeing. And every time I look at work, if I really like that work, it becomes a part of my vocabulary. And so I'm so thankful for all the really good work that's out there, because it expands my own seeing. It expands my language.
That is really interesting, because as a poet myself, I'm aware that I can play with persona, with the voice. I can actually speak through the voice, and I'm sure you do this, Jim. Through a variety of voices, sometimes imitating even other sort of master poets. I think all poets go through a kind of journeyman's phase of doing that. But I wasn't so sure that photographers had that option, but it sure seems like they do. From
very much.
You can be Ansel Adams for a day or whatever.
But one of the things that's interesting, and I don't know if Jim will agree or disagree, but a part of what I like about certain ways that I may photograph is that it may look styleless. And I like that kind of directness. And sometimes I kind of think, how could anyone ever have seen that facade any differently than how it really just is?
Yeah.
So I just sometimes like to be transparent and just let the thing itself happen through my work.
Yes. Well, the gallery show that we've been discussing, which will be in the Wheatley Media Arts Gallery in October of 2015, will offer gallery visitors the opportunity to respond to the work of both of you that will be in the gallery by looking at it in that same naive way and creating their own responses to it. So I hope that visitors will take advantage of that, and it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. Well, I'd like to close by hearing Jim Daniels read another poem that accompanies a photograph by Charlie Brodsky, but this time I'd like to challenge the listeners to use their imagination and try to visualize what kind of photograph or image might have inspired this poem.
Okay, well, the poem is called When Blue Seemed Like a Good Idea, and this is from our McKee's Rocks series. I've never been good at opening hearts or talking to strangers or simply making my own bed. Some might call this sky blue, but they wouldn't be from around here. Will you move in with me? I asked her before lattice and fencing on the stoop with cigarettes and soft breeze. If you paint the damn thing, she said and laughed. She'd left her husband for a bad tattoo in a grungy rock band. She left me too. On that ladder, giddy with a color from Miami or some old cartoon, I was shouting to the street. The fence was too low and the dog ran away. The flowers never got planted, though we'd made a list. If you're like my neighbors, you're shaking your head and calling it an eyesore. I've got a tattoo to match hers, working long hours, warping permanence into a blurred design that could mean anything. I put up the lattice after she left, spring on its way. Have you been to Miami? I could tell you why she left, but when I look back, I can still see her bare arms rising toward me when I came down the ladder and hugged her in blue, the reckless music of our cartoon laughter. Life itself can make our eyes sore. I don't know much, but fading is a part of it. I'm not climbing back up there to scrape and prime and start again.
That was Jim Daniels reading his poem, When Blue Seemed Like a Good Idea. Does that poem bring an image to mind? Come to the gallery show next October to see the Charlie Brodsky image that inspired it, or check it out on the online gallery show, which goes up in early fall. Thanks again, Jim Daniels and Charlie Brodsky, for visiting with me today.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
This has been Literature Out Loud, sponsored by RMU Radio and Rune, the Robert Morris University Literary Magazine. I'm John Lawson. Thanks for listening.